Good morning, everybody. Bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Father, as we honored Pastor and Andrea last week, we continue to honor you, Father, but we also honor our father and our mother today, especially our father on this day, our earthly fathers. We honor them. I just want to thank you for all the spiritual dads out there. I have benefited from a lot of spiritual fathers in my life. And I honor them. Amen. I don't have a lot to share today, but I have something. So I'll offer that something and pray that the Holy Spirit does his work with the rest. So the theme of honor has been apparent in our church the last couple weeks. Last week was a beautiful display of honor for our spiritual father in the house, Pastor and Andrea. And there's been a lot of honor, or I should say dishonor, in the church these days. And it's time to come back to a place of reverence and honor within the house. I wanted to start with a familiar passage that says, honor thy father and thy mother. And just talk a little bit about what that means. Use an example of the physical relationship between children and parents as an example of how we should honor our heavenly father. So I have a question. I'm not yet a dad, but I will be. But for those who are currently fathers, can you give me an example of the best way your children can honor you? Josh says obedience. Does anyone else agree with that? Affection. Respect. It says in Ephesians 6 in the beginning, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, followed by honor your father and your mother. And as we know, it's the first commandment with a promise that things may go well with us as children. But I want to focus on the word obey. I know there's parts there that talk about, you know, parents don't provoke your children to anger, et cetera, but I'm not going to highlight that right now, but I want to highlight the word obey. Obey your father, our heavenly father. Obey him. And I would submit to you that the best way you can obey, or the only way you can obey, is if you hear him and you understand what he's asking. Without hearing his voice and understanding what your father's saying, how else are you supposed to obey? You'll be wandering. You'll be assuming, Daddy, am I supposed to be doing this? I don't know. You didn't tell me. You have a desert moment, not because of lack of instruction, but because of lack of hearing. There are several scriptures that just talk about hearing the voice of God. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. John 10:16, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. Again, John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Luke 11, but he said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. In Romans, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. It's repeated many times, those who hear his voice, ... So far, what Lord was speaking to me was one of the ways we can honor him is through obedience to him, and then being more inclined and in tune with what he's actually saying. And that's multiple ways. The written word of God, so much is in here about his will. what a blessing the scripture is. And one part I want to highlight, the other is by the Spirit, and I want to talk about that. But in Romans, and this is something we've been studying as a Bible study, But it talks about the renewing of your mind. I'll just read it in Romans 12. And do not be conformed by the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So one of the ways we'll understand the will of God is through the renewing of our minds. And God just makes this so easy for us sometimes. In 1 Thessalonians, it says, "For this is the will of God." So let's start there. For this is the will of God. One of the ways we can obey God is by hearing him and listening to him. And he revealed some of the ways in which we can do that. 1 Thessalonians 4, starting in 3. "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor." We should honor our vessel. "Not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this manner, because the Lord is the avenger of all. As we also forewarned you and testified, for God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit." Mark Zadi talked about this a couple months ago, about holiness and righteousness in our own lives. And as I was studying this and God was connecting some of the dots, one of the best ways we can honor our Father is through obedience and through the actions that we do. I mean, this is a tough life to live by. And it's so different than the world. Talk about not taking advantage of your brother. That's a big one. How many people feel like they get taken advantage of in the marketplace just doing business? You ever feel like you got oversold and underdelivered on something you purchased? And that's okay, right? Because the contract said so. Is there sexual immorality in the world? I mean, it's easier to follow the command, "Thou shalt not commit adultery," but it's harder, like what Jesus said, "Anyone who looks upon a woman lustfully has already done so." Jesus has called us to a much higher standard. It's much harder to protect what goes into your eyes. I was thinking about the children's song today. "Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear." One of the ways I've been learning to renew your mind is exactly that, what you see and what you hear. It says in 1 Timothy, "Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable," so everything that is the opposite of 1 Thessalonians that I just read, "so anyone that cleanses himself from what is dishonorable will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work." I want to be used by God. And I think we all do. And it talks about if anyone, God's a respective of no one, but if anyone, not certain people, but if anyone cleanses themselves from what is dishonorable, what do we just read? Sexual immorality, lust, fairness, so not taking advantage of anybody, uncleanness, lack of holiness, of ourself, of our own power, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. And it says, if we put off those things, we are ready for honorable use. Set apart, that's what holiness means, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. It says us we have to be ready to give an account and a reasonable defense in all circumstances. A prayer of my heart has been, "Lord, order the house." This local body, capital C, in my own personal house, order the house. Because he's the master of it. And I want to be ready for every good work. And I can't say I'm walking in this perfectly, but God's connecting the dots to me about honor. And it's through obedience. And again, the best way I can obey is by hearing him and understanding his will. And he laid it out clearly here. The other aspect I wanted to talk about was the Spirit. The Spirit's job is to guide us into all truth, which is another advantage of the Bible, because it's all true, and it's useful for teaching and edification. But also, the Spirit's alive within us. When Jesus ascended, the Spirit descended and now resides within us, and so the full power of Christ is now within us and will continually guide us into all truth as we walk out our lives. And we know that the Trinity cannot be in conflict with each other. And so if we feel a prompting of the Holy Spirit, it must align with the Word of God. It can't contradict itself. But what the Spirit says may not necessarily have like a chapter and verse associated with it, but it can't also be in conflict with what the Bible says. And there's a lot of deception out there, even with people that are called Christians. And it says that. I forget the verse, and I may butcher it, but it says that, I think it says something to the effect that even Satan disguises himself as light. Even Satan disguises himself as light. And it may sound good. A lot of our culture now is based on feelings and emotions, and if things resonate with you emotionally, especially within the context of a church service, it seems good. But what does the Bible actually have to say about that? And so my overall point is, just because you feel something, the less you know about Scripture, the more it may seem reasonable. The more you know about Scripture, the more you can be confident in what you're actually feeling. Because God uses emotions, but he can't contradict himself. And furthermore, the more you understand the Bible, the more you can discern the voices that are out there, even within the Christian church. And I'm not calling anyone out specifically. I'm just saying we have to be ready to understand what's fact and what's fiction, and speak truth into scenarios and situations that are confusing, because it's altering the truth as opposed to presenting it. Am I making sense so far? Yeah. Okay. It says in John 12, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will be my servant. There my servant will be also. Even anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. So as we honor the Father honors us. So I've talked about honor, obedience, and understanding the will and the voice of God. I want to talk a little bit about our current environment, let's just say in North America, the United States, where there's increased persecution, if you will, against the Christian church, against Christians. And if we think the time, I was telling this to Ben, I was thinking about it this morning. We know there's nothing new under the sun. And we think the times we're living in are challenging and kind of potentially shake us a little bit. However, I was thinking about the society and culture that Jesus grew up in. They killed him. That was the legal system. That was politics of Jesus' day. They killed him. So I feel like we have it pretty easy right now. And I always think to myself, man, if Jesus was like here physically, man, I would have so much more confidence in my faith. I'd be like, wow, I saw you heal somebody. I can do that too. And man, if I just lived during Jesus' time, I'd be so much more effective. And then God reminded me of Paul. Father, I won't deny you. I'm sorry, thank you. Peter. I won't deny you. Man, I'll die with you. He lived with Jesus for years. And then as soon as Jesus went away, and a little uptick in persecution went up, I don't know him. I do not know him. That's scary. Because we're no different than the disciples. And I don't want to be in a position where as soon as I get shaken in my faith, I don't know Christ. I know what he said, but it's not for today. That was for that time. It's not for now. Father, I don't want to be so boastful that I declare that I'm never going to deny you, but I don't want to deny you. I don't want to childly just say, I'll die for Christ, but not have any of the backing. So to kind of tie it all together, even in persecution, we must honor our Father through obedience. And that's my larger point for today that I wanted to share is even through persecution, challenging times, when we're not all together, when we don't have strength in numbers, when we're at work, wherever we go and we get challenged individually, that we do not deny Christ. That we obey his words and his commands with our actions, regardless of the situation and circumstance. The word will in that Romans reference about renewing your mind is used multiple times in the New Testament. And it's interesting because that same word is used in different contexts. For example, 2 Timothy says, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Satan has a will. 2 Peter says, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Satan has a will, we have a will, and then there's God's will. And what's interesting about that to me is it's the same root word, which is just interesting scholastically. But it also means that our will is powerful. It is powerful. It's what we want to do. And you don't want to not do what you want to do. And anything that sounds good, that appeals to the flesh, Satan's will, seems good. He may disguise himself as light. It may not be like, kill somebody. That's obviously wrong. But it could be like, did God really say that? I mean, that's how we were deceived in the beginning. Did God really say? And if you don't know what he actually said, you may be deceived and start partaking in Satan's will. Prophecy never came by the will of man. Men are selfish. It's very easy to post the prophetic word online these days. And I would say it's even harder sometimes to discern what is true. Don't take things at face value sometimes. Understand what the Spirit is saying. Ask for wisdom and discernment about what you hear. And seek out the Scripture for truth so that we may not be deceived. I want to end with this story in Luke 12, starting in 42. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is the servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And the servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And this part, and to whom much has been committed of him, they will ask the more. And my notes cut off. Let me go to Luke 12. It didn't cut off. What I wanted to point out was we don't know the hour or the time, but we should be prepared, obeying what has been revealed to us in and out of season, whether we're expecting something or not expecting something, because when the master of the house returns, we should be doing exactly what we were doing, whether he was coming tomorrow and we knew it, or he was coming 1 year from now and we didn't know it. So, Father, I pray for me, for your bride. We are your bride, Father. And you will marry a spotless bride. And I thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us and washes us from our sins, from our iniquities, from our shortcomings, from our failures, from ourselves. And that you see us like you see Jesus. It's an amazing, amazing thing to try to understand. We are in right standing with you, Father. And I pray that as we mature, that we become serious about the will of the Father and we obey it, whether it seems, whether it's difficult or easy, whether it's seen or unseen. And the Bible never says if you were to be persecuted, but more as a declaration of when. Father, that we do not deny you. I pray for the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth wherever we go, to teach us things, to point out things in Scripture to us and have them sink down into our hearts. I pray against any of those thistles or thorns or things that come and choke the deep roots that you want to make in us, Father, that you purify us, that we help, that we take your commands seriously about our lifestyle, and we honor you with the things we say, the things that we do, and even sometimes the things we don't do and the things that we don't say. I thank you for your plans and for the order that you have, and I pray that we walk in that order, Father. I pray that as a body, we step up our own game, that we recommit our lives to you in submission to the will of the Father, that we say, not my will, but your will be done, even to the point of death. And Father, I pray that I never have to die for you. But if it were to come to that, Father, I thank you for strengthening me for that situation. We say we are soldiers in the army of God. And I'm pretty sure there's a disclosure. I haven't joined the military, but I'm pretty sure if you join the military in the U.S. Army, something says to the effect that you could die. No different than being a soldier in the army of God. So, Father, I thank you that this is serious, but also uplifting. Because this is the gospel message. We were dead. Dead in sin, had a broken relationship with our Father, destined and well deserving of hell. But through your great plans, you sent the perfect sacrifice where we don't have to slaughter animals anymore through a priest, but you slaughtered your own Son. And his blood that was shed was for us, is for us, is for me. And that's beautiful. How often do we look backwards about where we came from and get stuck there? We aren't the same person we were. We can't be. We have the Spirit of God living in us. We are not the same. And Father, I pray that as we mature in you, as we live out our faith, that we walk in power. That we walk with the full revelation that you are in us and we are in you. And we are seated with you in heavenly places. And the same power that you walk this earth with is the same power that we walk this earth with. So I thank you for these things, Father. I pray that you carry them out in my life, Father. I love you. I cherish you. I don't want to take you for granted. I don't want to abuse your grace. Help me to die daily and pick up my cross and follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you want to share anything, Ben?
Thanks, Josh. That was awesome. And like Josh said, you know, the Lord has his finger on honor. You know, 3 weeks ago when he gave me that word on honor, and then last week as Josh started praying for pastor and honor came back, you know, how we become too familiar with God. We become too familiar. That was a word he gave me today, is familiarity, is that we become familiar with God, too familiar with him, and taking him for granted on many things. But as we were worshiping, the Lord spoke to me. He says he wants his church to return to its first love. And it's not just, it's all of us, the whole body of Christ. Because as we become familiar, we take him for granted in many things. And he first loved us. And the word first is very important in that, return to our first love. Because so often when I hear that, you know, it's, I'm thinking, you know, oh, that was my first love. But he has to be first. He has to be my first love. First above everything, above anything, he's got to be first. And I want to read a couple of scriptures. I just happened to be watching a teaching the other day, and it really spoke to me about certain things, about one thing in my life where I become familiar. And this is one, Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. New wine doesn't just mean, you know, the increase in money and everything, but it's the first fruits and the new wine of our spiritual life too, that we can be prosperous in the things that God wants us to be prosperous in. And then in Genesis 4, verse 3 and 5, 3 to 5. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked on the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of his soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions, some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel's offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. The difference was Abel gave the first fruits of what came into his life because he honored God first. Cain gave an offering, but it wasn't the first. God wants the first of everything in our life. He wants to be first. He's a jealous God. He wants us to love him, give our lives to him, honor him, work for him, everything, him first. Now I want to tie in what where the Lord spoke to me. And this is in Malachi. Even from the days when your fathers you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them, return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord. But you said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. He goes on, but I just want to focus on that. You know, we live in an electronic age where everything is so easy to just do everything online. We get our paychecks mailed to us. We pay our bills. This is the way I do everything. But as I heard this teaching, I started realizing where I've become familiar with God and my tithes and offerings. I get my retirement checks and the automatic deposit. So when it comes time for bills, I do everything at once. The tithe I put in. Sometimes I'll pay some bills first that I know I have to get out. And I get to the rest of it later, so I'll do the tithe and everything. But I never forget the tithe. I still give them my 10%. But the Lord put his finger on it and says, I wasn't first. The first thing I should do, even though I tithe, he should be the very first that I do anything. It says, bring it into the storehouse. I know it can be legalistic. I do it online. It's electronic. But I think for me, and I'm not trying to put legality on the body, but to prove a point in my life, starting from a couple of days ago, he wants me to, the first thing I do before I pay any bills, even though I know I have my tithe in there, is write the check and bring it into this storehouse. He may release me in time to go back to electronic, but you know, maybe the first thing I do is do a transaction to the church first, then close that, and then do another transaction and pay my bills. But the key was, he wants to be first in everything. You know, it talks about the tithes and offering, about the curse. You know, if you don't tithe and you don't give him the first fruits, your money becomes cursed. God doesn't curse it, but we live in a cursed world. So our money is coming in from that cursed world. So the money essentially is cursed when we get it. But when we take it in and we give him the first fruits of it, God sanctifies that money then. It's now God's money working through us. And that's where the curse comes in. You know, so God's not saying, I'm cursing your money. He says, I want to bless you. I want to bless my people. Bring your money out from the curse. Give to me first what's mine. And I didn't mean this to be on tithing, but this could be in any aspect of your life. But he spoke to me in the way I give my tithes. It needs to be first so that all of my income, everything that I do, anything that comes to me, that I acknowledge him first in it. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, that you want to bring honor back to this world, this church so much, Lord, to your church. You love us, Father, more than we ever would know. And you first loved us. But you want to be our first love, Lord. You want to be first in our lives. So the first thing we think of when we wake up is you, Lord. When we go outside, the first thing we think of is you. When we get paid or whatever comes into our life, we can thank you, Lord, acknowledge, and give you your due share first. First in everything, Lord. So, Father, we just want to honor you today, especially today, Father, that it's Father's Day. We want to bring honor back into your church, Lord. Father, because you can't work with a body that does not honor you. And it's not just with tithes and offerings. It's honor in every aspect where we become familiar. Even in the military, one thing Josh said, you know, that when you sign those papers, you know, I'm sure when I went in, there's something about that, you know, your life could be taken from you. But essentially, when you join the military, you sign your life away. You have no more rights. When we come into the church and give our lives to God, it's voluntary. We can walk away from Him. But that's our part of the covenant, because our covenant with God is that He died, His blood, He broke His broken body and everything for us so that we don't have to live under the curse and all the sins and everything, that we can walk free of that. But when we walk away from that, His covenant, see, we have an option, but God wants us to take our option serious. We have to die daily with Him. You know, like it says, carry your cross daily. So, Father, as we come to You, Father, every day, Father, every day we give You honor. Every day, Father, we're there for You, Lord. And like Josh prayed, if the time comes where even if our lives depended upon it, that we would willingly and joyfully give our lives to You, because we know that You'll sustain us, Lord. See, we have the option, just like Peter, Lord, to walk away and say, I don't know You. In the military, you can't do that. You'll be put in prison. And if it's bad enough, they can put you to death. But, Lord, we want to be in that position where we take that choice seriously. And it all falls under honor, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Was there anything else that anyone had on their hearts that the Holy Spirit was guiding you in, that you wanted to share?
The thing that I got, and I hope I understand the word, what it means, but it kind of told me that we carry a lineage. We carry the Lord, but we also carry, when we have children, but even people who don't have children, that you bring to the Lord, and it kind of grows with each person. You know, you get people to the Lord, then they have more people with that and everything. And the way He kind of showed me was that as you're walking, you see like these transparent people all of a sudden pop up behind you, and they kind of follow you. And then with time, they become more and more real and understand what our purpose is in this life. But He just said, you need to be, I don't know if the word proud or what the right word is, but you need to know that you carry a responsibility to extend that lineage and to respect that lineage, because you carry Christ. And as you go along, that's basically what He kept saying to me, was you need to recognize and respect your responsibility for carrying lineage for as long as you live. That's basically what He was telling me.
Just to emphasize that a little bit, when the Israelites were crossing the Jordan, God instructed them to build like those stone pillars. And He said, so that when you see this, you will tell your children about Me, so that you may remember what I took you through. And so there's a big aspect of our faith that talks through, or that talks about instructing future generations about what God has done, so that we may remember. That's communion as well. Why do we do it? I mean, there's a lot, but one of the things is so that you do this in remembrance of Me. That's our history. That's our lineage. So there's a lot there in terms of speaking out about what God has done, so that we can remember Him and carry that to the future. Well, Father, we thank you for the words that have been spoken today. And I pray that they remain in the forefront of our minds even as we start other activity. I pray for a continuity of what was done today with our lives tomorrow and on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and so on. I thank you for your beautiful creation and the beautiful weather you've blessed us with today. I pray for whatever gatherings happen today in celebration of Father's Day, that you will be in the midst of our gatherings, that just because we're having fun doesn't mean we can't be used by you in our interactions. I pray that through being outside, if we're outside, that we just look at your creation, understand how great you are just from the things you've created. So be blessed, body. In Jesus' name, amen.